Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your great love. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you to the lengths that you go in reaching people, Lord God. And once you've reached people, the lengths you go to reach every aspect of us, Lord God, to the deepest recesses of our being. You don't just want us to know about you. You want us to know you. And then you want us to become like you. You want the word so taught to us that we emulate it, that we become, Lord God, what the word says. To be Christ-like. To be conformed, as it says in Romans 8:29, conformed to the very image of Jesus himself. That our life isn't just a bunch of speaking, but it's a life that demonstrates you, that lives you, that shares you. Oh, Father, I thank you for working through so much imperfection that you're working out your perfection in. And you just want us to embrace things like I've just said in this prayer, Lord God, by faith. That is what you're doing within us. That you dwell within us, Lord God. Ever making us more like yourself so we can reveal you and make you known, Lord. So help me this morning. Help all of us, Lord, have ears to hear concerning the subject of prophecy. That as we look into some passages today to begin to open up our eyes to this subject, help me, Lord God, with this introduction this morning, cause a hunger to arise within people's hearts concerning this all-important topic, Lord, especially what you say concerning the days of the end or the last days or the final roundup of things, Lord. Oh, Father, speak, for us, your children, are listening in Jesus' name. Amen. Prophecy, the wise will understand. I want to begin where this title comes from in Daniel chapter 12. But as you turn to chapter 12, I want to quote one scripture from chapter 11, verse 32. Chapter 11, verse 32. As you know, Daniel spoke many things concerning the last days, concerning the children of Israel, and also the church of Jesus Christ. And he said this some 530 years before Jesus Christ came. And some of the passages in Daniel mirror the passages in the book of Revelation. But here's this one passage that a lot of people like to quote. And it's concerning the last day people of God. In verse 32 it says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people," and listen to this, "the people who" what? "Know their God. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Most Bibles will have those last two words italicized. It's inferred in the word carry out or do. But it talks about in the last times that there's going to be a group of people who are going to do wickedly against the covenant. Now, some of us may have a preconceived idea what the word wickedly is, or we may think we're coming up to Halloween next month, and we have a picture of what wicked might be. Well, how about someone who just tries to twist what the covenant of Jesus Christ says? How about someone who just waters down the Word of God? Or maybe, as Jesus said, false teachers that try to infiltrate the church of Jesus Christ. To do wickedly against the covenant is to take the covenant, referring to the new covenant in Jesus Christ, the covenant that has brought us all back to a relationship, back to Father God, through the blood and Christ, through the blood and cross of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And when we realize that Satan will stop at nothing to corrupt, number one, to keep people in a corrupted state, never to come to know Jesus Christ, or those who have known Jesus Christ to get them in a place of compromise or get them in a place of being lax, being comfortable. And we're going to look at this topic. We're going to look at this, at what the Word of God has to say concerning this subject, and it's going to take some time to unpack all of this because you need to have a firm foundation of what Daniel is referring to as the wise. You're going to need to have an understanding what he's referring to as the wicked. It's just not speaking of the ungodly multitude. It's also speaking about those who name the name of Jesus and those who have a problem with some of the things that the Word of God has to say. And so we are going to take our time and look at these things. It's only then will you have an understanding of how to apply prophecy within your life. And so we're going to go back and we're going to look at some things of how prophecy was fulfilled. We're going to go back and look at the time of Jesus. And we're going to look at what happened to the Jewish people after the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the early church age and what happened throughout the years. Because I want to bring you up to these days. Because Jesus had some things that he communicated about these days. I'm talking about the days near the end and what it would be like in the world and what it would be like in the church. And we have to have an understanding of these things because there may be some things that God wants to quicken you to. There may be some things that he wants to get your attention on. How many of you agree with me today? If there's any slack areas, we want the slack taken out. If there's any areas that we are unsure of, we want to be sure in. If there's some things that we're teetering in, we need to be grounded in. He wants to take the uncertainty out. He wants to take your question marks, as you heard me say before, he wants to take a question mark that you have about God's Word, or maybe a certain thing that you've heard about God's Word, and he wants to go, whoosh, and he wants to snap it straight into an exclamation mark within your life. So there won't be those questions that you have. But God is a God who will answer our questions. And as he answers them, he wants that to become an exclamation mark within your life so you're completely assured of, and so that when you speak concerning the Word of God, you'll know what you're saying and why you're saying it. Remember, I look at every one of you as ministers of Jesus Christ. I teach in such a way, this ministry here has been raised up for you to learn the Word of God so that you may teach it to others, that you may impart it to other people. And this is your call also, to learn the Word of God, to become what the Word of God says, and to share it with other people that you and somebody else may be ready for when Jesus Christ comes. And he is coming. Amen? And so we need to look at some of these things. And so we are going to just drop over now to Daniel chapter 12. And I want to read the first four verses, start beginning with verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Did not Jesus echo those same words? Did not Jesus echo a time of tribulation that will come, such as never been seen on this planet, since no nation has ever experienced? So we even hear from Jesus himself taking the words of this verse right here and bringing it into the church age. And the reason why I'm saying that, so you can take Daniel's prophecy and bring it right now into the church age or the time of the end. Okay? Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. What book? What's he referring to? Is there a book that your name is written in? Book of life. Okay, now you say book of life, do you know where scripture is? Now, I challenge you, because we all say the book of life, but where does it occur? Well, there's three times in the book of Revelation. One time Jesus says it to one of the seven churches. Another time Jesus makes reference to it in, let's go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Revelation 13, verse 8, because I want you to have a couple reference points for this book of life. Oh, real quick, how does your name get written in the book of life? I mean, is every person's name written in there? Or is that why Jesus Christ came? To bring eternal life, to pay the price and secure what it says in Hebrews chapter 8, an eternal redemption for mankind. Jesus did it for everyone, but everyone doesn't receive it. You see that? It's one sacrifice for all, never to be repeated again. It's an eternal redemption. That's why we as a church have a very important mission, to share the gospel, to be the gospel to someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so that's how we get our names written in there, by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that His life on the cross, His sacrifice on the cross, His blood that was spilled on our behalf, as it says in John chapter 1, the Lamb of God, and what did He do? He removed or took away the sin of the world. He died and He was buried, and 3 days later He resurrected from the dead, and He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. Okay, over here in Revelation chapter 13, as we know that this is talking about the dragon and the beast, and who's making war with the saints of God, and it goes in, I just want to bring up the verse here about those who are going to worship this beast and the image of this beast, and those who don't. And it says here in verse 8, and all who dwell on the earth. Wow, we heard in communion today from Denise this word all. This is pretty powerful here, isn't it? And all who dwell on the earth will worship Him. That's a pretty big statement, folks. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So we see that we know from 1 John chapter 5, we know from Revelation chapter 12, we know that the Word of God says that the devil has a short time and his wrath is great. We know that the Word of God says that everyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ is under His deception. Talks about the whole world under deception. So we can say that everybody outside of Jesus Christ is in darkness. Jesus came as light of the what? Light of the world. In other words, He had truth to bring people into an understanding that they needed to come to a place of salvation, which would be provided through Him. And when they heard that good news of His gospel, what He did, and they believe it, they will be what? Translated from what? The kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. They'll go from what? Darkness to light. From the power of Satan to the power of God. And they will receive forgiveness of sins and begin experiencing their inheritance in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So everyone outside of Jesus Christ is in darkness. And that's why it's so important for us to share the truth that we have in Jesus Christ with others. Regardless of the response, regardless of what they say back, we share the truth in Jesus Christ and allow that seed to be planted within their heart and let the Holy Spirit do His job. Ours is to share Jesus. The Holy Spirit is to convict them of sin so they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know what's so wonderful about that? How many here can attest to peace? How many of you can attest to when you came to know Jesus Christ, a peace that passes understanding just flooded your being? And I still enjoy that peace today. Not that it doesn't get disturbed at times. We live in a world that's always trying to disturb our peace. But we have a reference here from Revelation 13, verse 8, about this book of life. And it says it's the book of life of the Lamb. And I really believe that the reference here is of the Lamb because it takes it back to the sacrifice of Jesus. Book of life of the Lamb. So it takes us all the way back to the cross, how those can become part of or written in the book of life, coming to the Lamb, coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? Okay, the last time, let's go over to Revelation 20. Once again, it makes a statement, it makes a negative statement about those not in the book of life. Now, we're going to be seeing here, and I'm going to take my time as we look in the future, there's going to be two resurrections. There's going to be the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. And in Revelation chapter 20, the last part of Revelation chapter 20, it's the great white throne judgment. And it speaks about all whose what? Names are not written in the book of life will be cast in the lake of fire. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. But we also see, if you back up to verse 10, that this is finally the obliteration, or the removal, I should say, of Satan once and for all. Until this verse occurs, Satan will still be around. We know that there's a 1,000-year reprieve, which we call the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that is described here in Revelation chapter 20, the first few verses, that talks about an angel coming down and wrapping a chain around Satan and putting him in a bottomless pit where he will remain for 1,000 years. And after that 1,000 years, he's going to be released for a season. Now, when you look up this, when you take some time and research Scripture and look up this this word chain and this word bottomless pit, there's going to be an edict that is going to come from God through this angel. And when he speaks, Satan will be bound as with a chain and placed in a bottomless pit. And when you take your time and look up some of these things, it's almost like a place of being suspended. You ever been in a dream where you feel like you're falling and you don't touch bottom? But can you imagine in that type of a suspense that he's got like a prison where he's suspended like that, ever seems like he's falling but never touching bottom for 1,000 years? I don't know, maybe after a while you'd get used to it. I sure wouldn't. But it just talks about there's going to be a confinement that he will have and be suspended there for 1,000 years. We're going to talk about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ at a later time. But after this time, after he's placed into the lake of fire, as it says in verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, they will be tormented for how long? Day and night for what? There is no redemption for the devil. There is no redemption for the devil. This is a perpetual condition that he will be in for all of eternity from this point forward. You know what's so wonderful about this? No more devil. Hallelujah. Well, just having said that, you can also, guess what? You can also make sure there's no devil in your life too. Because your place in Jesus Christ gives you the ability to get rid of them. So if you're being harassed by the devil, or we could say demon or any type of oppression, my Bible still says, and I can go right back to it, in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Jesus still heals all who are oppressed of the devil. So if you got anything going on in your life where you feel like you're oppressed, get up here and get prayer today, and we'll help you get set free. Amen? Amen? Okay. So we know that this is going to be the final end, and one final judgment is going to take place. And it says in verse 14, then death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, having been a Christian for many decades, I have spoken to many people in many different denominations and many different Christian worldviews that they believe, a lot of people believe, that this is an annihilation, that they cease to exist. There's nowhere in Scripture it says that these spirits cease to exist. When it says, because we have a previous verse about the devil in verse 10, and it brings us to this verse also, that this place of the lake of fire is a place that there is also going to be what is referred to as punishment, or as it says in verse 10, it says they will be tormented day and night forever. And where does it say that they are at? In verse 10, the lake of fire. So we have an understanding that the lake of fire is also a place of torment, and it's forever and ever. So that's why when you read verse 15, John does not include all of that in verse 15, because he's already mentioned it in verse 10. So you have to be able to connect verse 15 back with verse 10 to have a description of this condition called the lake of fire. And because I know that, that's why I'm passionate about the gospel. I'm passionate about letting people know about Jesus. Okay? Because nobody in their right mind will want anybody to ever experience that. And you will find yourself sharing with people, even if they don't want to hear. But because you love God and you love people, and you don't want them to ever experience something like this, you will venture out, you will take a chance, you'll exit out of your comfort zone, and as you've heard me before, oh, that we could buy the world coffee. If we could just spend some time with people, and getting to know people, and build bridges with people. Sometimes I can build a bridge just within a few short minutes. Sometimes it takes weeks or months building a bridge with somebody. But I want people to know Jesus. I want people to know this truth that I have experienced. And at times we got to get over ourselves, folks. Well, what if I say it wrong? Sometimes we go through all these different excuses as to why not share Jesus. Throw out the excuses, open up your mouth, and tell somebody about Jesus. Okay? Why? Because you don't want them to experience this. And I'll tell you, okay, I've got to refer back a little bit to what happened in our life. Most of you know I went back to the location where my son died. And I went back to confront the people that were there because I still have a lot of unanswered questions and I'm probably never going to find the answers on this side of eternity. And I'll be real careful what I speak because there are certain things that I know is still very sensitive to my wife, Christine, and I want to respect her on this. I wanted some answers. And I was pretty upset about some things that I heard about. And God spoke to my heart. You've heard me say this before. Are you willing, Mark, to share my love with these people, even if they were responsible for your son's death, so that they won't ever experience, or their parents would never experience what you and your wife are experiencing right now, this loss, and that they'd be ready to be with me in eternity? And that was very difficult, speaking, going and talking with them and sharing Jesus with them just within, 5 days, less than a week after my son had passed, and making sure that they had an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over and above my feelings, over and above my being upset, was I able to look past my hurt? Was I able to look past my pain? And was I willing to be God's minister to people who did not know Jesus Christ? And see, this is what God's love does within us, everyone. That we're able to see God's plan, what he has for us and what he has for others. Regardless of what may have just taken place, regardless if you feel completely broken and shattered and spilled out, that God can say, Mark, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal your wife, Christine. I'm going to bring you to a place of restoration. But now that you're here and these people are in front of you, they need to know about me. And so I was able just to make a little bit of a transition right there and share Jesus with them as far as they wanted to listen. And you know that and you've heard me say this, you know what the interesting part was? The two out of the three people that I was able to share with a lot, they're both backslidden, they're both raised in the church, they both came to know Jesus at a young age, they were involved in Sunday school, they even went on mission trips, and they were in a backslidden state. And I was able to tell them of the reality that's in Jesus Christ, still available to them, and give them my number. I haven't heard back from them. But see, this is what God will do with us. Do we have that type of a passion? Do we really believe in the message here? Do we understand that when we begin looking at this, at prophecy, that there is coming a time, as we looked already at Daniel? Let's go back to Daniel real quick here. Daniel chapter 12. As we saw in Daniel here, that there is coming a time. There is coming a time where we will be delivered. There is coming a time of the resurrection of the just, or is what some people would refer to as the rapture of the church. And I'm not going to talk today about the timeline of the rapture. I'm just letting you know that there's a resurrection of the just and we will be delivered. We will be caught up to be with the Lord forever, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay? It will happen. We can argue timeline all you want. The resurrection of the just is going to happen first. We will be caught up to the Lord and forever be with the Lord. Amen? Amen. This mortal body must put on immortality. Okay? The way that our body is right now cannot endure the presence of God. Okay? It talks about this body is slowly decaying. Okay? I'm not speaking not faith to any of you. You are getting older. I've known a lot of you for a lot of years. Your hair is turning gray. Okay? You are getting more wrinkles. Okay? Doesn't matter if you put on all these new products or get shots in your face. The reason why you're doing it is because you're getting wrinkles. Okay? Some of you, your hair would be gray, but you got color on it. That's okay. That's right. There was an amen there. I will not look at you, Karen. Oh, it's just, it's, just part of life. The body, it's the part of the curse in the garden. When they sinned against God, it says you will die. Okay? They were spiritually separated from God. It took over 900 years for their bodies to die. It doesn't take that long anymore. Okay? So, but this body is growing old. And we are told in Scripture, as a believer in Jesus Christ, when this body drops off, when I breathe my last breath, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Your spirit and your soul go right to the very presence of God. Amen? Okay. None of this soul sleep junk. Okay? Hallelujah. And I got Scripture to back it up. So, we are those whose names are found in this book, or the book of life, because we have received of the life of God, we have received the gift of eternal life that's available in Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now, here's where you get the two resurrections here. The two resurrections. The resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the unrighteous. Some to everlasting life and some to shame unto what? Everlasting contempt. Oh, once again, that word everlasting. Everlasting contempt. In other words, their final end continues. It's sad, but it does happen. So it speaks here, if you'd like to read, it says in John chapter 6, Jesus makes a definite delineation between the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. And we read about the resurrection of the just in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It speaks about the resurrection of the just. And in Revelation chapter 20 is when the resurrection of those who are unjust or unrighteous, that they have to stand before God and give an account of their lives in a body. And it will be a resurrected body, but that resurrected body will go into the lake of fire. Okay, so they have to give an account to God for their lives. It says, those who are wise, verse 3, wise, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. If what you have is real, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If what you have in Jesus is real, you can't help but to let Jesus out. You can't help but to let the life of what you've experienced Him out of you and share Jesus with others. It talks about, yes, we're going to shine there with Him forever, but we're also shining for Him right now. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. John chapter 9, Jesus says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Now, wait a second. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus in the world today? Yes and no. No and yes, however you want to answer it. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But the Word of God says He's the head and we're the body. So Jesus is still in the world through us. That's why Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you are the light of the world now. So Jesus gave us an example to follow. He gave us an example of ministry. He gave us an example what interpersonal, spiritual, interpersonal relationships look like, the types of people that we should be interacting with. We see the life of Jesus, and we see the life that each and every one of us need to be enjoying in ministry. Did you hear what I said? Need to be enjoying in ministry, because ministering should be something you want to do. And the world or your flesh will try to bring up all these problems. Any of you have problems this past week? And sometimes our problems are so big and they're so vast that who am I to talk to anybody about Jesus? That's when you need to start looking for an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. We need to be looking for the opportunities instead of making excuses and missing opportunities. True? And because we are the light of the world. And if we are, no, not if, we are the light of the world. And since we are the light of the world, that means that there's people around who are in darkness and need the light of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it talks about that, yes, there are going to be rewards, and we're going to look at rewards. We're going to look at rewards when we stand before the Lord. We're going to look at the crowns that we're going to get and the scriptures in the book of Revelation. Any of you ever wonder why that group is called Casting Crowns? Okay? Because all the crowns we get when we stand before him, I've got all these crowns because of you, Jesus. And we cast them at his feet. Isn't that exciting? So, wow, Lord, it's been so great serving you while here on this planet. But you know, everything that I have came from you. I give it right back to you, Jesus, and say thank you. Isn't that wonderful? That's so exciting. I just love the things of God. How about you? So, I haven't even described yet the title of this message. Prophecy, the wise shall understand. The wise shall understand. Let's just drop down here and look at two more verses, and we'll see where we'll go from here. Let's start with verse 9. Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. No. Let me read verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. How fast do they say knowledge is increasing with the advent of everything that we're experiencing online? It's like it's multiplying almost week by week, if not day by day. Everything and anything's available to you. Ooh, right here. Almost anything that you want is available to you. Whatever knowledge you want is available to you. If I need to fix something, or you need to fix something, what do we usually go to? YouTube videos. I mean, we find out somebody else did it, they put it on there, we watch it. Not all of them are correct. So you watch a few of them. I've learned the hard way. And when I went to school in 1980 for information technology, it wasn't even called information technology back then, computer science, we used punch cards and reels. It could fill up a room. And then the TRS-80, the Radio Shack TRS-80, and this big floppy drive, it was almost like 1 foot by 1 foot, 640K. We thought, my gosh, look at all the information we can store on that. Look at the computing power in this smartphone that we have today. What we have to be careful of is that we just increase knowledge without knowing God. Because the first verse that we started with in Daniel chapter 12, it talks about those who know their God. Knowledge about God should bring you to the knowledge of God, should bring you into a closer fellowship with God. And a lot of people are exchanging knowledge of God for being close with God. We are told by the Apostle Paul that too much knowledge, it's just going to puff you up. And you can be a walking dictionary, a walking Bible encyclopedia, and not be any closer to God at all. So how is your... I know I'm related to God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells me in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm in relationship with God. I'm a son of God or a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So the next question I need to ask, how's my fellowship with God? How's your fellowship with God? How's your dialogue with him? I'm trying to remember this verse. Is it... Kind of do a real quick scan for me. I think it's 1 Peter. Is it 4:11? Is that the one that I put in the prayer email? Does anybody remember? Oh, did any of you read the prayer email? Look, everybody's real quiet. Everybody's looking at the wall. And I asked for prayer for this. 4:7. Oh, okay, let's go to 4:7, even though that one's good too. Look what Peter wrote at the time that he wrote it, about two, if not three decades after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, the early church and every generation after them believed that Jesus Christ could come at any time. And look what he said there. But the end of all things is at hand. You therefore be sober and watch under prayer. So the question is, how's your prayer life? You see, to some believers I speak with, it's very nil or completely not there at all. They've exchanged the study of God's Word or the information of God's Word by having all this information and all this knowledge of God's Word that they don't even feel the need anymore to pray. But we are told by Peter here that if we really believe that we are living in a time that it is coming to the end of all things, if it was at hand then, how far is that clock moved over now? He says, therefore be sober. Watch or watchful unto prayer. In other words, know the time that you're living in. It's not saying go walk around like you just chomped on a lemon or a lime. He's not saying go around with a sour look on your face. Know the times in which you live and live according to the times that you know about. Develop your fellowship with God. Look for opportunities to share Jesus. Look for the Word of God. Say, Lord God, is there anything you want to teach me in your Word? That if there's an area within my life that needs to be changed or conformed more like Jesus. I know every one of you here can probably at least say there's one thing in your life that you need changed. Or maybe there's one thing in your life that you're not experiencing from the Lord. Let's say joy. How many of you have experienced joy this past week? Or how many of you are lacking joy? Okay? The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the strength of the Lord is supposed to be your life. Okay? It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And so, is joy lacking in your life? Say, Lord, what? It says here that part of the Holy Spirit within my life is to be joy, and I'm just not there. I have a talk with God like that. That's prayer. I talk to God about my life and about your lives and about other people's lives, expecting to hear a response in return, whether it be just information that God gives me, whether it be through a message like today, whether it be through the studying or reading of God's Word or listening to somebody on the radio or a beautiful Christian song that ministers to me, whether I can look out in creation and see the handiwork of God. God is speaking everywhere. But are we listening? Are we able to see what God is wanting to get our attention about? When you pray, do you really anticipate Him to respond? My answer is yes. Is your answer yes today? Your answer should be yes. God does respond. Just like He responded to me, and I said, Lord, where are you right now? I felt that He was so distant, especially right after my son died. I said, where are you? And He said, see the people that brought over food? I'm right there. See the person you just received a text from? Right there. God started showing me that He was everywhere. He was ministering to me through all kinds of people, and these people didn't even know that they were being the hands and feet of Jesus. And He says, you need to pray for them. You need to thank me for them. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for these people that were. Sometimes we don't even know where some of these impressions come from within our life to do the things that we do. They're God impressions. They come from Him. They inspire. What wasn't man made in the image and likeness of God? So why wouldn't people get inspirations of God? Why wouldn't people get some type of leading that comes from Him? Yes, it may be dormant. Yes, they may not have come to know Him yet. But you know what? God has been ministering, and He ministers in people's lives, and He gets people's attention, the saved and the unsaved. Amen? He's drawing people unto Himself. He's drawing you this morning closer to Himself. He's drawing me closer to Himself this morning. And so we need to make sure that we are people who continue to dialogue with God. I'm wanting prayer to come to a place. How many of you like talking? There's some of you in here, you know, if I start talking to you, I won't get a word in the edgewise. Mark, that's sometimes how we are with God. He can't get a word in edgewise. And there's some of you that don't like to talk at all, and you wonder why God's not answering anything in your life. Because you're not even dialoguing with Him. But there is a way. At times, those of you that talk a lot, I'll try not to stare at anybody right now. And those of you who don't. Those of you who talk a lot need to also learn how to listen. And those of you who don't need to learn to speak. God wants to bring in a wonderful divine balance in all of our lives, especially when it comes to communicating with Him, so that we can be, as the Word of God here, it says, sober. What is the opposite of sober? Is drunk. In other words, to be so preoccupied with so many other things that we are not connecting with God. To be drunk is to be disconnected with that which we need to be connected with. You're not able to get the signals that God wants to speak to you. You're not able to hear what God wants to say. Because we've allowed an intoxication, we could refer to it as a Babylonian intoxication, we could a workplace intoxication, a entertainment intoxication. At times we get so intoxicated with so many other things. How many of you are busy? I'm busy. I do a lot. Small church pastor. I take Mondays off. Hallelujah for that. But guess what? I make sure I designate time for God in the morning so that He has my attention anytime He wants throughout the day. If you separate some time aside and cultivate the presence of God in the morning, you can be assured of His cultivation and of His presence throughout your day. Amen? And so doing that causes me to be sober or alert to His promptings, alert to what He wants to say to me, and also watchful of people that are entering into my life. Being watchful, just not over my life, but watchful over other people's lives so that I'm not so caught up in what I'm doing and there's a person standing right beside me that needs an encouraging word, that just needs a hello today, just needs to be recognized as a human being. And how many of us just miss the simple everyday opportunities of recognizing a person because we're so busy in what we're doing, we're so intoxicated with other things, we can't hear from God that there's someone right there that He wants us to see and acknowledge, even if it's just a hello, how you doing today? Could just mean all the difference in the world to somebody. Amen? And provide an opportunity for us to be Jesus to them. Drop down here to verse 9. And He said, go your way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Let me ask you, are these words closed up and sealed now? No. God wants to make... We have a great deal of His mysteries known, and there's wonderful Bible teachers that are just called to this area. And God has used and gifted so many men and women in this area of prophecy that at times you can almost get prophecy overload because of all the stuff that's coming out. And so you have to learn to take what God wants you to know and wants to share with you, because these things are no longer sealed. Because in Revelation, the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, when John, one of the original disciples of Jesus Christ, received this revelation of Jesus Christ, what was he told to do with it? Daniel was told to shut it up. Daniel was told not to worry about it. Daniel was told that you're going to die, you're going to go to sleep, you're going to die, it's going to be for a time in the future. But what does Revelation 22 say? Look what Revelation 22 says, starting with verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Oh. Daniel seal, Revelation unseal. There's a lot in the book of Revelation that is almost word for word from the book of Daniel. So what was sealed then is open for us today. Now, having said that, how many would agree with me that there's great and wonderful Bible prophecy teachers? There's also great, no, I don't want to say great, there's also just as many false ones out there who will over-spiritualize something and try to bring in a meaning that it does not say. Okay? And that's why we have to be discerning who we're listening to. That's why when anybody says, hey, pastor, I want you to read this book from this guy, or I want you to hear this message, or can you go online and listen to this guy? No. You might say, well, that's pretty arrogant. No, meaning until I go research who that person is. Until I go to their website and read their tenets of faith. Till I go and find something out about the individual and what they believe and what they stand for. I don't want to hear what they have to say until I know what they're grounded in. Okay? Then, okay, yeah, that's great. I'll go ahead and listen to a few messages. Okay? Because some unknowingly have given me messages from people, from groups of so-called Christian denominations, like Jehovah's Witnesses. My mother-in-law was a Jehovah's Witness for 25 years. Christy and I, we get saved, we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and we're going down to Homestead, Florida visiting her. And after a few visits going back and forth, she comes and knocks on the bedroom door. I said, "Yeah, Mom, what's up?" "I have been a Jehovah's Witness for 25 years, and I have not experienced the change in my life that I've seen just in the few months in you and Christine. What do you have that I don't?" I said, "Mom, sit down. Let me introduce you to Jehovah Jesus." Because according to their tradition, Jesus is definitely not a Jehovah. He is a small g, a little God. And he's a little God, and he's not equal with God, nor is he one with God. And so I got to sit there and share what the Word of God had to say concerning who Jesus was. She gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now she's up in glory experiencing the reality of Jesus Christ. So when somebody came and said, "Oh, you need to listen to this guy. He's got some great types and shadow teachings." In other words, he's got some great teachings about things in the Old Testament and their spiritual meaning. And I said, "How long have you been listening to this or reading this information?" "Oh, quite a while. It's really good stuff, Mark." "Really? Russell, what's his name? Russell? Oh, Charles Russell? The guy who founded Jehovah Witnesses?" And I said, "Nope." I said, "You really need to know what you're studying, what you're reading, and what you're following." And so I had to minister to them, and they had to relearn stuff. They had to realize that some of the stuff that they were learning was twisted. Yeah, there's a lot of truth, a lot of what he said, but there's a lot of error in what he said. Okay? And so the people had to unlearn, this person and their family and their Bible study had to unlearn what they thought was revelation from God. Okay, so we have to be a discerning people. But it tells us here that it's not sealed and it is for us to know, but who's going to know it? What's the title of today's message? Prophecy, the wise shall understand. We're going to go into next week what this word wise means. We're going to find out how we're doing with wise. We're going to find out what the Word of God has to say concerning the wise ones. And how is that applicable? What does it mean in the Old Testament? What does it mean in the New Testament? So let's just drop down here to verse 9. "Go your way, Daniel. The words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." We're in that time. "Many shall be purified, made white, and refined." Any of you feel like you're going through a refining process right now? The Word of God from the Apostle Peter says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing is happening to you." Just because you're going through some fire doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. If you've embraced the truth of God's Word, if there's something that you've said yes to, expect for that to be tested within your life. I mean, you said you own it. You said you want it to be part of your life. So just life itself, not counting the world, not counting the flesh, not counting the devil, just living on this planet is going to try what you say you believe. Any of you been through some trials this past week? Any of you been put through the ringer? Now, come on, I know some of you have. You've told me. Don't think it a strange thing. It's life. It's part of life. We live in a fallen world. What did Peter say the very first message of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2? He said, "Be saved from this wicked or corrupt world." We're going to experience some of these things. Just because you're experiencing them isn't because you're doing anything wrong. It could be, but more than likely it's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's because you've embraced the truth, and now that truth is being put to the test within your life. As he says in Peter, he goes on to say that the genuineness of your faith being tested. Is it genuine? Is it real? Do you really possess it? Or is it just something you've heard like, yeah, okay, I believe this. And as soon as you're tested, oh, forget that stuff. You know what I love about going through a test? There's no failing in the Lord. We get to do it again. Isn't that wonderful? He loves us so much to bring us right back through it some other time within our life. But one thing I do love of the Lord is if I find myself in the middle of something and I feel it's too much, "Lord, get me out of this right now. Stop this." I get set free from it.
"Mark, you're going to have to go through it again, though."
So instead of "help me out of this right now," trust God through it and pass it. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're told that the Holy Ghost is like a refiner sitting over the sons of Levi. It says that the Holy Spirit is going to allow a refining process to happen within our lives. Do you agree with me today that if there's any area in your life that is not like Jesus or not of God, do you want it changed? Okay, now there's not a whole lot of amens here because you probably know where I'm going. Then expect for that to be challenged so the Word of God can be taught to you and it put there instead. Amen? So anything that is not of God within my life, I want it out so the Word of God can be in its place. So it will be challenged. I will face it. How many of you ever believed or ever said that the grass is greener on the other side? If I only wasn't here, if I only could go, if I only could do this, if I could only go over there. You know what I found out with that? This is what I've learned in 30-something years walking with Jesus. I said, honey, I think we need to move. We need to go over here. You know what I found out? I go with me. I go with me. And it found out that the situation was in me, not in that environment. And here I said, honey, I said, that same thing's coming up again. And it's like, hello. And once I realized that I'm the one that needed to change, and I submitted to the Lord, I'm telling you, it's not always easy, but it's always good and rewarding. Why? Romans 8:28. God works all things for the good to those that love him and are the called according to his purpose. So once I yielded and surrendered to him in that area, it was a process. And I'm not saying it's an overnight process. It is a process. But I allowed myself to be purified, made white, and refined. Now, the Word of God says I'm made white through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My garments have been made clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's, even though that I'm pure before him, even though that I've been made right before him, there are areas of refining that still need to take place within me. Okay? The Word of God says you're complete in him, but he's also working his completeness in you. Okay? So we have this place of identity in the Lord Jesus Christ and this place where he's bringing us. This is what he said I'm going to be like. This is where I'm at now. And this is the process whereby he is working in me to get me there to what he has secured for me and what he secured for you. Amen? So let's go right down here. It says, we know now that it's not sealed up. We know that this is available to us. We know that there's a process of purifying that's taking place within our life. And it says, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But who's going to understand? But the wise will understand. You've already heard me say today that the wicked are in darkness. We know that people that don't know Jesus at times don't have a clue. True? So is this only referring to the ungodly people that don't know Jesus Christ? And the answer is no. Because the same word is used of Old Testament people who purposely disobeyed God. They were part of the covenant. They were part of God's people. But because they chose not to follow the law of Moses and the sacrifices, that they themselves, the Word of God says that they were wicked, even though that they were among God's people. So can this term also be used for deceived people of God? And the word is yes. So those who are wise, and we're going to look at that word wise next week, those who are wise will understand. And those who are wicked, not just of this world, we know the people of this world do not understand the things of God. They think you're out to lunch anyway, don't they? Huh? Right? I mean, you start sharing some stuff of God and about eternity and about all this stuff, like, whoa, what planet are you from? You know, they look at you really strange. Why? They're not part of the family of God. They can't identify. The only way that they can begin to identify is when they come to know Jesus Christ, is when you share with them the gospel. Don't try to share Genesis to Revelation or all the things that are going to happen during the end times with unsaved people. They're going to go, woohoo! Hey, there's a Lulu here. You know? Don't expect them to understand. They can't see. They can't grasp it. Okay? I remember when I first got saved and spirit-filled, I was such a messed up, alcoholic, bleh, kind of a person. I was going to a psychiatrist. I was on medication. And when God saved me and baptized me in the Holy Ghost, I remember having a conversation with my dad in Puerto Rico. And I'm just talking about these things. I'm just sharing what Jesus did in my life and all this stuff. He hung up the phone, got on a plane, and flew here. He's like, he thought I was like one of those Hare Krishna people at the airport passing out, you know, back then. Remember the flowers? You know? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, he just thought I'd gone to Fruit Loop because he was no longer dominating the conversation. I was dominating the conversation from being a person who is healed in Jesus Christ. And because my dad was so blown away by that, I brought him in and I showed him everything that was going on. I showed him what the Word of God had to say. He's like going, wow, this is incredible. You are a completely changed individual. And I'm sharing all these things about the Lord. I took him back to Tampa Airport. This is back in 1981. Took him back to the airport, and they still had the tram service there. I'm still talking to him about the things of the Lord. Okay, Mark, okay, Mark, okay, Mark. It was almost like, whew, got away from him. He didn't understand. I'm trying to share all this stuff. And he just needed to hear the simple message of Jesus Christ, which he came to know 2 months before he died. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So learn to relay and relate to people where they're at in their spiritual life, and don't try to cram in so much of this stuff. They're not going to understand. But there's also a segment of the church who doesn't understand. There's a segment of the church who won't even talk about this. There are churches and denominations who won't even speak on the subject of prophecy. Why talk about all that negative stuff? Three-fourths of the Bible, half of the Bible is prophecy. And so why wouldn't we share about these things? Why wouldn't we challenge ourselves? Why wouldn't we look into these things? And I want to break it down. I want to break it down to prophecy. I want to break it down with prophets. I also want to bring it into prophesying what the body of Christ can do. So you're going to get an understanding of prophets in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament prophets. We're going to talk about prophesying. Is it okay for people to prophesy in the body of Christ? Has the office of the prophet passed away? I'll just tell you right now, no, it hasn't. Okay, now there are people who will argue with me on that point up and down, and I'll say, read the scripture, what does it say? Don't argue with me. If that's a doctrine you choose, then how does this scripture line up with that? I want to bring people back to the Word of God, and you need to know what God's Word says. So when someone comes to you, or you go to a Bible study and they say, prophets are no longer of this day, and you say, read this right here, what does it say? So you can share with them from a place of what? Wanting their eyes to be open for them to understand the days and times in which they live in so they can be a prepared people for the Lord and be active about the Father's business before Jesus returns. So I want to define these terms for you. I want you to come to an understanding of them. Have a piece of paper. Write some of these things down. Get into it when you get home. But the wise shall understand. And there's a segment here that the Lord is wanting each and every one of us to know. And I need to say this. Is there anything left out of God's Word, or is there anything that we can't find in God's Word concerning these final days? And the answer is no. We don't have to search outside of Scripture for the understanding of the end times or the last days. And the reason, I'm going to give you a passage for this, and I'll probably end up closing with this, is in Mark chapter 13. And in Mark 13, Jesus is describing the events that are going to happen, the events that are going to happen in Jerusalem concerning the temple, the events that are going to happen throughout the church age, and the events that are going to happen in the last days. And he makes this all things statement here. As you know, I've been going through the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation and looking at all the passages that have to do with the word all things. And I tell you, if you'll just do that, you'll get an eye-opening revelation of all things. And this right here, look what Jesus says in verse 23. But take heed. See, I have told you what? All things. I have foretold you all things. When you read the verses above it and then read the verses after it, it's referring what was going to take place with the Jewish people, what was going to take place in history, and what was going to take place just prior to Jesus' second coming. So everything that we need to know about concerning the final days of the believers here on earth, Jesus said, I have declared to you all things. Now, having said that, remember, Jesus is the manifestation of the Word of God. So we have Genesis to Malachi that we can learn so much about the last days in. There's so much in typology that we can learn. We have the Gospels, the four Gospels in the book of Acts, that we can learn. Okay, remember in John chapter 16, when right prior to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, he says, I still have many things to share with you, but you can't handle them right now. Why? They needed the Holy Spirit. They needed the Holy Spirit to understand these things so he could speak at a certain level to them and had to stop. Because they needed the Holy Spirit, who gave us the Word of God, to teach us what the Word has to say. And he went to a certain level with them and said, I have to stop. I still have a lot to say to you. But afterwards, when the Holy Spirit comes, the rest of what I have to say, I'll show you. I'll teach you. And so we have Romans all the way through the book of Revelation for all those other things that Jesus Christ wants us to know. I get concerned when a person has to go outside of the Word of God, go to some sort of Jewish rabbi, and to try to find out information concerning what Jesus said concerning the last days, and my Bible tells me that these Jewish people, that there's a veil over their eyes. That there's a veil over their eyes to this day. So why would I be going to somebody who is not saved, who doesn't know Jesus Christ, and there's a veil over their eyes, and it says that veil remains until they receive Jesus Christ? Why would I go to them then? See, Jesus said, I have already made known to you all things. So whatever you need to know, we have right here. I don't have to go outside of Scripture for the answers that I need for anything, any aspect of my life. Any aspect of your life, whether it be you need peace today, whether you need to understand God's love today, whether you need to know how God answers prayer, whether you need to know to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, or this whole thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is it for today? Everything that we need to know is in here. The very last days, right prior to us going home to Jesus, everything is here, but the wise will understand. So how can we remain wise and stay wise to have more and more of this revealed to us? That's what we're going to look at next week. We're going to look at that. We're going to see what that means. Okay? So I just want to thank the Lord right now for what we've already learned here today. That we know that we have a covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that covenant and that faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and following the Lord Jesus Christ is going to see us safely home. We keep our eyes on Jesus, and we've not only proclaimed him as Savior, but also as Lord. And when I say Jesus is Lord, I'm saying I'm giving you the mastery, I'm giving you the control over my life. Your word is the direction I take for my life. I want to be taught of you, I want to live for you, I want to become more like you, and I want to make you known to other people. And so this is what we have. We know that we have an enemy called Satan, and that he's going to do whatever he can to twist it, to pervert it, to get us away from it, to cause us to be so busy that we don't even have time for God anymore. It happens in a lot. The reason why I know it happens in my life. If it happens to me, I know it happens to you. I'm not perfect. But you know what? I want more and more of him. And so if we could just remember Galatians 2:20. Let's take what the Apostle Paul said and let it become part of our life. It is no longer I, and put your name in there. I love personalizing the Word of God. It is no longer Mark Smith who lives. But the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith in the one who loved me. Speaking of Jesus, and gave himself for me. That your desire and my desire is to live by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, so that when I die, it's all gain. Father God, I just thank you this morning in this introduction that we realize, Lord God, that we are living in a time in which you want to open up our eyes more to the events, Lord God, that are going on right before our eyes. There are things taking place that there's a segment of your church that don't even see what's taking place right before their eyes, Lord God. There is prophecy being fulfilled in our day, Lord. There are things happening, fulfillment after fulfillment after fulfillment. But at times this world just gets us so busy and just crowds out so much that you want us to see, Lord God, so we're not ever caught off guard or caught unaware, Lord. And so you want to bring some of these things to our minds so we can say, oh my gosh, look at this, look at this, look at this event, look what's taking place here. My gosh, the scripture is true that we're a whole lot closer than when we first believed. Father, help me convey this message of prophecy through world events, through the Holy Spirit, maybe to speak your mind, your counsel to a person in need, Lord God, that needs to hear a word from you. So whether it be concerning what's going on in the world or whether it be concerning, Lord God, the person that is right next to me that has a smile on their face but they're broken on the inside, show us this full, true meaning of prophecy and how it's supposed to operate in all of our lives, Lord God. And so that we'll always be a people, as it says in Luke chapter 1, a people prepared for you, a people ready for you, Lord. And so help me communicate these truths. Help us to always be those wise ones. And if there's any area in our life, Lord God, where we're unwise or we're foolish or we don't know you in, we want those areas shored up, and we're asking for you by the Holy Spirit to help us in those areas. And we know you love us so much, you're so perfect, that you know the perfect time and at the right time to deal with us in those areas. And we know that you're going to bring us to the place that you have for us. There is so much about you and about yourself that you want us to know, that you want us to go deeper, Lord, deeper. And I thank you, Father, that we are saying, yes, Lord, we want to know you more than we know you right now. We just don't want to know about you. We want to know you. As John said in 1 John chapter 1, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Show us this type of fellowship, Lord God. Show us how we can all enjoy a real communion, fellowship, dialoguing lifestyle with you and hear you, Lord God, respond back to us. I pray this for all my brothers and sisters.